محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
We start today with the rulings of Hajj, all the ahkam, the halal and haram, the conditions, the integrals, and so forth. Firstly, الشروط, the conditions. أما الشرائط فشرط صحة الحج اثنان الوقت والإسلام. Firstly, the conditions that would make Hajj correct are two things. One is the time factor and the other one is Islam. So in other words, there's a specific time for Hajj, that is one of the conditions, and Islam, a person must be a Muslim if he wants to perform the Hajj. Non-Muslim, if they perform Hajj, let's say they get to go there and they actually do the rituals, etc., that will not be called a Hajj, because the condition is Islam. So, what about a child? Is a child allowed to perform Hajj and will it be correct? The answer is yes, but it will not be the Hajj of the Fard Hajj. But a child is allowed to perform Hajj with their guardian. It says, فَيَصِحُ حَجُّ الصَّبِي. It is correct for a child to perform Hajj. وَيُحْرِمُ بِنَفْسِهِ إِن كَانَ مُمَيِّذًا. And if this child is mumayyiz, mumayyiz means an age where the child can discern between right and wrong. Child knows more or less what to do, how to clean themselves. They know more or less how to take wudu, they know more or less how to stay away from danger, etc. In such a case, the child can assume the ihram himself or herself. What if the child is younger than that? It says, وَيُحْرِمُ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ إِن كَانَ صَغِيرًا وَيَفْعَلُ بِهِ مَا يَفْعَلُ فِي الْحَجِّ مِنَ الطَّوَافِ وَالسَّعِي وَغَيْرِهِ. But if the child is not yet mumayyiz, meaning the child is small, cannot yet discern, is a baby, etc., then the guardian will do everything for that child. The guardian will assume the ihram on behalf of that child. The guardian will do the tawaf and sa'i with the child, etc., right? So because the child cannot yet do things on their own, and in that case, there's a hadith that shows that whatever the guardian does for that child, the reward will go back to the guardian, right? Because the child is not yet mukallaf, the child is sinless. So all the reward will go back to the guardian that took the effort to make sure that the child is doing all the rituals. It says, وَأَمَّا الْوَقْتُ فَهُوَ شَوَّالٌ وَذُو الْقَعْدَةِ وَتِسْعٌ مِنْ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ إِلَى طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ مِنْ يَوْمِ النَّحْرِ. And the time factor of Hajj is, which makes it a unique ibadah, it can only be done during a very specific period of time. Unlike your salah is daily, your fasting is month, 1 month in the year, your zakah is only when you are able to, but the Hajj is done in a very specific period of time. So the month of Hajj, now we know the actual Hajj takes place in the 5 days of Hajj. And the 5 days of Hajj are basically the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. Those are the actual days when the rituals of Hajj are performed. However, the month of Hajj is the month of Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the first few days of Dhul Hijjah. So, if Hajj is only specifically for 5 days, how come do we say that the month of Hajj are those 2 months and a bit? As Allah says in the Quran, Al-Hajju Ashhurun Ma'lumat. Hajj has very specific months. The reason is that a person is allowed to assume his ihram or her ihram during the month of Hajj, even if it is not yet the days of Hajj. So if a person, let's say, Ramadan has completed now and Shawwal has entered. Once Shawwal has entered, then that person is already able to assume ihram for Hajj. But obviously what that means is that the person will be in that state until the days of Hajj. Which is obviously difficult, right? But it can happen if a person wants to do that, right? Some people, they take it upon themselves that they want to be in a state of ihram for a longer period of time. I remember when we went once for 2 months. So we came there first into Medina. When we came in Makkah, there was approximately a month and so left for Hajj. And there was this one uncle from Johannesburg, when he came in for Umrah, he actually assumed, he didn't make a Umrah, he came in with a niyyah of Hajj. And he stayed in ihram for that entire period, until the 5 days of Hajj. Of course, it's a difficult thing because you're not able to scratch, you're not able to pull out hair, you're not able to use soap, etc., etc. But is it correct? Yes, it is correct. It can be done. although it is somewhat of a difficulty. So those are the months of Hajj. Okay, so what happens if a person makes niyyah out of the month of Hajj? Let's say in Ramadan, the person assumes the haram and he says, I'm making my niyyah for Hajj now. You say, no, that niyyah is invalid. But Ramadan is not yet the period of Hajj. Any other month is not the period of Hajj. So Imam Ghazali says in this case, فَمَنْ أَحْرَمَ بِالْحَجِّ فِي غَيْرِ هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ فَهِيَ عُمْرَةٌ وَجَمِيعُ السَّنَةِ وَقْتُ الْعُمْرَةِ. So if a person makes a niyyah for Hajj outside those months, then that will fall as an, automatically as an Umrah. It will be as an Umrah. So you will perform only tawaf and sa'i, cut his hair, and come out of the ihram. But it cannot be taken as Hajj because it must be done in that specific period of time. Okay, so those were the two conditions that make Hajj correct. It must only come from a Muslim, and it must only be done in a certain period of time. He says, وَأَمَّا شُرُوطُ وُقُوعِهِ أَنْ حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَخَمْسَةٌ. As for the conditions that will make it a Hajj that falls for the Hajj of Islam, meaning the Fard Hajj, what are the conditions for it to be a Fard Hajj? Obviously now conditions will be added, right? Apart from the time and apart from the Islam, there's conditions that must be added that will make it the Hajj of Islam. And that is Al-Hurriyah, freedom. So a slave person, if they perform Hajj, that Hajj does not really form part of the arkan, right? It only becomes of the rukun of Islam if that person is a free person. But a slave person is not able to perform Hajj. Al-Bulugh, a person who is baligh, mukallaf in other words. So a child, like we said, now they can perform Hajj. The Hajj will be correct. The guardian will get the reward. But that does not fall for the Hajj of Islam. In fact, that child that went with the guardian before he became mukallaf, they are obliged to perform Hajj another time once they are mukallaf, right? So that is one of the conditions. And also al-aql, person must be sane, completely sane and not insane. Sanity must be there. So a person again who is retarded or who does not have his full senses, can they perform Hajj with a guardian? Yes, they can, just like the child. But that is not the Hajj of Islam, not the Fard Hajj. So let's say that for some reason that child, that person that was insane, becomes sane afterwards. Let's say for some medical reason they become better and they are cured. But in that case they will have to repeat the Hajj. That Hajj that they did with the guardian does not really fall as the Hajj of Islam. Okay, then وَأَمَّا شُرُوطُ لُزُومِ الْحَجِّ فَخَمْسَةٌ. Again, what are the conditions now of Hajj becoming compulsory? It's a different thing now. So we said the conditions for it to become, to be the Hajj of Islam are those things that we mentioned now. But when does it actually become compulsory? As we are sitting here, it's not compulsory for all of us, right? It's compulsory for the person who is able to perform the Hajj. So that condition must be added to make it compulsory, right? He says, وَأَمَّا شُرُوطُ لُزُومِ الْحَجِّ فَخَمْسَةٌ. So five things again will make it compulsory. Number one, بلوغ, again the person must be مكلف. Islam, عقل, must be full sanity. حُرِّيَّة, freedom. And the one that we add here is الْإِسْتِطَاعَةِ. Person must be by the means to perform the Hajj. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, and for Allah is the Hajj that must be performed. And if you look at these ayat, many of it points to the fact that this entire ibadah must be done solely and only for the sake of Allah. This ayah begins by saying, وَلِلَّهِ, and for Allah. It's not to show people. It's not to boast. It's not to brag. It's not to show that you can do it or you are by the means. Your niyyah must always be Allah. وَلِلَّهِ. In the other ayah, Allah also says, الحج والعمرة لله. The Hajj and the Umrah is only for the sake of Allah. And that's very important. Person's intention must be checked all the time. Who's going on Hajj, who's going on Umrah. If there is any discrepancy in the niyyah, then of course the reward will be, there will be no reward for such a Hajj or such an Umrah that is done for motives other than being for the sake of Allah. So Allah says, ولله على الناس, upon people, Hajjul Bayt, they must perform the Hajj of the house, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Those who are able to find a path to do so. So those who are not by the means, Hajj is not farz upon them. Hajj is not compulsory. Right? Although if they were to perform Hajj, it will be correct. Right? And it will fall for the Hajj of Islam. So let's say a person is poor, مثلاً. He's not able to. And somebody comes along and he says, look here, I'll sponsor you to go for Hajj. Is that Hajj correct? Yes, it's correct. Does it fall for the Hajj of Islam? Yes, it falls for the Hajj of Islam. Because that person was enabled. He wasn't able, but he was enabled by someone. He was given the funds, he was given the means. In that case, the Hajj will be completely correct. Now, so speaking about the istita'ah, it says, وَالْإِسْتِطَاعَةُ نَوْعَانِ. There are two types of being by the means. Two categories. أَحَدُهُمَا الْمُبَاشَرَةُ وَذَلِكَ لَهُ أَسْبَابٌ. The first one is to be by the means by yourself. By yourself you are able to go in Hajj. So when we speak about means, also it is not confined to the monetary means. There's other things also that must be taken into consideration that will make you able to perform Hajj. So what all forms part of istita'ah? It's not only the money. He says, أَمَّا فِي نَفْسِهِ فَبِالصِّحَّةِ. With regards to himself, the first thing is his health. If a person is sick, you're not able to perform Hajj. Because Hajj requires a lot of strength. Because it's movement from one place to the other. There's lots of hard, strenuous action in Ibadah. Moving around the Kaaba, moving between Safa and Marwa. Traveling from one place to another, standing on Arafah, pelting the Jamarat. So there's a lot of physical action. And that is why we always recommend people that they perform Hajj and they don't wait until they are very old to perform Hajj, if they are able to. To do it in the time when their health is still 100% with them. So they require all that energy and all that strength to perform the Hajj. So part of the istita'ah is person's health. وَأَمَّا فِي الطَّرِيقِ فَبِأَنْ تَكُونَ آمِنَةً. It's another part of istita'ah, and that is the road must be safe. Traveling from here to there must be safe. Right? There were times that there was war, for example, on that side of the world. You're not allowed to go because the road is not safe. Right? If the road isn't safe, the condition is not met of istita'ah. وَأَمَّا فِي الْمَالِ فَبِأَنْ يَجِدَ نَفَقَةَ ذِهَابِهِ وَإِيَابِهِ إِلَى وَطَنِهِ وَأَنْ يَمْلِكَ نَفَقَةَ مَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ نَفَقَتُهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ. With regards to the money, it's also not having just enough money to go. Right? He says the money part of istita'ah is you must have enough funds to go there and to come back. Meaning, you're traveling fair, going there and coming back. Also, your money that you need to live there when you are over there for the 2 months or the 6 weeks, whatever amount of time. You must have money to live in the place and to have food to eat and to buy the necessities that you need to buy. So those are all part of istita'ah. And then also added to that, he says, istita'ah also means that when a person goes on Hajj, he must also have enough money to leave behind for his family for the period of time that he's going to be gone. Because we know that the male person, the husband, the father, he is the breadwinner. He's the one that gives nafaqah, that looks after his family. So he must have enough money for his family as well. Otherwise, he's not able to go. Because you can have enough money for Hajj, and you go over, but your family suffer over here. That doesn't make sense. Because that is also a duty and a responsibility that must be meted out, that must be carried out all the time. So he says there, that must be added to istita'ah. Then the part after that is, of course, the second type of istita'ah is when a person is not able to do it by himself, but he will then appoint someone. He's able to physically, let's say he's not able to, he's sick, but he's got the money to do so. So in such a case, he will appoint someone else to do the Hajj on his or her behalf. And one of the rules that apply here is that person that is appointed to perform the Hajj on behalf of the sick person, that person himself must have performed Eid or Hajj already. Right? So only a person who's done Hajj already can do it on behalf of someone else. And this is what we call the Badal Hajj. Our people say Ba'dal Hajj. It's a wrong word. Ba'dal Hajj. No, Badal. Badal means substitute. It's a substitute Hajj. Ba'd, the word Ba'd is a different word. Ba'd means some. We say some of the time. Ba'dul Waqt. But badal means some substitute. Right? So a badal hajj is when a person performs hajj on behalf of someone else. So of course the sick person, he will then supply all the means for that person to perform hajj. He will give that person traveling money, money to live there, to live in a hotel, to have food. That will all be part of the istita'ah, that is not directly but via another person. Okay, so that is allowed. And the fact, the proof to show that a person who performs hajj on behalf of someone else must have performed hajj himself or herself already. There was an incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where this person was making his niyyah for hajj, and he says, labbayka an shubruma. He says, I'm making labbayk on behalf of shubruma. So the Prophet called him. Prophet says, you are making labbayk and ihram on behalf of shubruma. Did you perform your hajj by yourself, your own hajj? So he said, no. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're not allowed to make for shubruma. First make your own hajj, then you make for someone else. And that makes perfectly sense, because if you are going to make hajj on behalf of someone else, how do you know, you know, what it is? Because the idea of making performing hajj on someone else is that you have the knowledge, you have the experience to do it. So how do you have the experience if you didn't do it yourself? There's an Arabic saying that says, فَاقِدُ شَيْلَا يُعْطِي. If you don't have something, you can't give it to someone else. If I don't have a 50 rand, I can't give you the 50 rand. So I must know how to perform hajj first myself. I must have that experience, I must go on the trip, I must know the ins and outs. Then when I have that knowledge, then I can do it on behalf of someone else. And that is a condition. Inshallah, we will continue with some of the other discussions. There's still quite a lot of discussion with regards to the rituals. As we know, hajj is one of those ibadat that has a lot of ahkam, a lot of detail, how it must be performed, when it must be performed, at what place it must be performed, very specific. Unlike other ibadat, which is open-ended, this one is very specific in terms of its ritual and detail. We'll do that, inshallah, step by step as we go along. Allah grants us understanding and tawfiq. We make special dua for Mawlana Mu'adh Mani. He's one of our imams here in Cape Town. He served the Parkwood community for quite a long time. He's the nephew of the late Imam Farid Mani. And he was a very good person, alhamdulillah. He was a person that taught the deen of Allah, and he was very passionate about Islam. He went for Umrah and he became ill there, in fact. And he came back, and shortly after that, now he passed away. Alhamdulillah, at least Allah granted him Umrah, the last chance, you know, before he passed away. So we made dua for him, and Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Allah put Nur in his qabr. Allah Ta'ala put him among the Anbiya and the Saliheen and the Shuhada. Allah make that his grave must be one of the gardens, the gardens of Jannah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ahli wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم اغفر له وارحمه واسكنه في الجنة. اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وادخله في الجنة. اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وروحه في الجنة. وتجاوز عن سيئاتي واحشره مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. وحسن اولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. اللهم ان كان محسنا فزد في احسانه، وان كان مسيئا فتجاوز عنه ولقي الامن برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. يا ايتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي الى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. اللهم اجعل قبره روضة من رياض الجنان، ولا تجعل قبره حفرة من حفر النيران برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأهل القبور من المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، فاعلهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وسلام على المرسلين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
The janazah will be at 11 o'clock at the Dove Road Masjid in Parkwood.